Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "What commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susie. Well, let's take a look at this reading. So, Lord, we thank you that you call us to love you, to love one another. Lord, help us to think through what does that look like as we seek to build a safer environment and community to worship you together. Amen. Well, this Sunday, we're going to take some time to think about safeguarding. Safeguarding is important on a whole manner of levels, but really it's important because it can impact all of us. Often, sometimes when we hear the word safeguarding, we think, oh, that must be to do with children or youth, or maybe it's to do with vulnerable adults. But actually, the reality is that the actions of others can impact any of us. And as a church, as Christ's body here in Hanwell, we've all got a part to play in creating a culture where this is not only talked about and kept out in the open, but being a place where good practice is followed at every level. And as we've been growing as a church, it's given us pause to stop and review how we do things in terms of safeguarding and how we respond in light of the growth we've seen. And today and our next service as well are an outworking of that. We want to raise awareness of the subject matter so that really we can build the safest possible culture into our DNA as a church. Well, it might be helpful to define, well, what do we mean by safeguarding? Well, the Archbishop of Canterbury defines it this way in the Parish Safeguarding Handbook, which is kind of like the Bible of safeguarding, if you like, that all Church of England churches are working to. And he puts it this way. He says, safeguarding means the action the church takes to promote a safer culture in all our churches. And I think that word action is key. Because sometimes we can think that safeguarding is perhaps a set of ideas, or perhaps it's a policy or a document, but fundamentally it's actually about how we live and how we act in relation to one another. Why? Because, well, in Scripture we know that every single person is made in God's image, is welcomed, loved, valued by God. So this is right at the heart of who we are as Christians. Again, from the handbook. That says this, being faithful to our call to share the gospel therefore compels us to take with the utmost seriousness that challenge of preventing abuse from happening and responding well where it has. And I think we see this kind of gospel call to create that environment to treat one another well in our gospel reading this morning. We pick up the action with Jesus debating, probably in the temple courts of Jerusalem. And one of the scribes, who's been perhaps on the side listening in to that conversation, decides that he's going to seek Jesus's view based on how strong we read Jesus's performance has been thus far. And just important to note that this kind of public debate, this isn't all people trying to trip up Jesus in public. This is a normal part of first century life for rabbis. You would get together and discuss openly your ideas and thoughts. So Jesus is asked this great question. Which commandment is the first of all? Now, it's not just asking about the Ten Commandments there. He's actually referring to the whole of Jewish law, the Torah, which we find in the first five books of our Bibles. And neither is it an uncommon question, perhaps, because ultimately what this scribe is asking Jesus is, what's the heart of your teaching? What is your message, Rabbi? This is often referred to as a rabbi's yoke. And each rabbi in Jesus' day would have their own ideas, their own set of teaching, their own different nuances on particular bits of Jewish religious life, not too dissimilar from theologians having different views today. And Jesus answers this question in a really classic Jesus way. He starts out with some pretty safe territory that would be kind of agreed on by all. He takes an established Jewish custom and then he adds to it. He adds a kingdom twist to it. So let's take a look at Jesus's response. Well, he begins actually by not quoting one of the Ten Commandments, not actually quoting a piece of law, but by quoting a prayer. And the opening here is known as the opening lines of a prayer called the Shema, which is a Jewish prayer, which is still said morning and night by devout Jewish people today. So Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So that's the opening bit of the Shema. And then he adds in an extra bit from Leviticus. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So he points out this Jewish great gross truth that God is one, and then he adds to it that our response is to love God. And that's that Jesus' first part, and his first of these greatest commandments, he says, the greatest, most important parts of teaching is this. He says, you are to love God. Why so important? Well, actually, as we've journeyed through Lent, that's been the theme we've been trying to unpack week on week, isn't it? Is that it's God's love that actually brings about growth and transformation in us. It is God's love that reshapes us and how we act, how we live, so that we become more and more like having lives that are in that pattern set for us by Jesus. So that's the first part of his response. The first part is love God and to give God everything. And the second part, if you like, is Jesus' wild card entry into the theological arena, because he adds in a new idea as an outworking of the first. His logic goes something like this. If you are being shaped into living God's way by loving God, then the next logical step, if you love God, is that you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And he adds, there is no other commandment greater than these. Because, you see, we're transformed by God's love, not just for our personal benefit, but for serving in the kingdom of God. And that means in order to serve everyone else in it. And take note, both of these things are active actions, aren't they? To love God and to love one another as ourselves. Those are not passive things that Jesus is calling us to. They're not a set of ideas. They're a set of actions of how we live. And if we treat other people in the way that we would wish to be treated, given the pattern that we see in God's love and in Jesus, that's how we're to treat people, in light of God's love, to respond in that way. And I think if you want a simple theology of safeguarding, of the actions we should take as church, I think this scripture is a great place to begin. Because, as I said, these are actions. This is about the actions we take to love one another, to create and promote a safer culture. That's all about loving one another and treating people in a manner which we hope and wish we would be treated as well. And we're creating through our actions, we want to create a culture that prevents abuse and that cares for people when they have been its victims. And, you know, just to kind of underline it, every act of abuse you could possibly think of runs directly counter to Jesus' command to love one another. I'd like to take just a bit of time as we finish up to talk about some of the actions that we are taking to create a safer culture for us as a church, and how in Maria's interview she said safeguarding is everybody's business, and some of these actions will be different ways in which all of us are involved. So as I said earlier, first step is this week, is to take a Sunday to think and to pray and to raise awareness of the issue of safeguarding, so that everybody in church knows a little bit more than we did when we came into the service this morning. In addition to that, we've begun to roll out a brand new set of safeguarding training across are teams of volunteers. We've begun with those who work with the most vulnerable groups, and over the next 12 to 18 months, we'll be rolling out appropriate training to all of our volunteer teams so that everybody is as well prepared as they can be. And we've already seen the fruit of that training in just a short time. We've already had conversations with people that are demonstrating a greater awareness and people clocking things that may or may not be concerns, which we can then address as a result. We're also putting in place the new standards that the Church of England requires of us around volunteering, which simply bring us in line with the rest of the charity sector. So over the coming year or so, you will hear us talk a lot about safer recruitment, which really means that everyone who serves will have a volunteer agreement that outlines what we expect from them, but also how we support them. We will continue and in a new way for other, some teams, continue to put in place appropriate checks and references as we have people serve. And these actions are about creating a culture where we try and actively deter people who might be seeking to commit abuse. Nothing can be 100% safe, and that's why in all of the training and literature we refer to it as a safer culture rather than a safe one. We don't want to ever be complacent. And some of that process I've just outlined about when you serve, that is one of the ways in which many of us are going to be involved and play our part as we engage with these processes, as we receive training, as we kind of get these things in place. Another area of action for us is our aim to respond well to concerns or to disclosures that are made to us. We have in place with the Diocese of London a robust system for what to do as and when this happens. And Maria spoke a little about that in her interview. This year we've created an expanded safeguarding team alongside our trustees, our PCC, to ensure that we stick to those processes, that they are followed when needed. Safeguarding appears on every single PCC trustees meeting agenda. And we factor into it every event we plan as a leadership team. We ask ourselves, is there a safeguarding component that we want to see? We want to be a little bit learn from the world of education, where you're taught in education to see safeguarding as something that crosses every sphere of life. Finally, we want to be a place that cares well for those who've been hurt by others. And we will endeavour to do that through pastoral care, whether that's how we support one another within our church family, or how we try and help people to find appropriate external support and help where that is the thing that is most needed. Just in closing, we long and love St Mary's as a community, and we want to ensure that we are a community that follows these greatest commandments to the letter. We want to be people who love God, but also who love neighbour as ourselves. We want to ensure that we have created and put a safer culture at the heart of all we do. And we want to express these commandments, there'll be policies and documents and ideas, but primarily through our actions. And that will be the actions, not just of the few or of the designated team, but by having a whole team of us as a whole church family, having that wider awareness, training and support where needed, so that we can all play our part in loving our neighbours and creating as safe a place as possible for us to worship together as a family. Amen. We're going to take some